eyes. Saudi Arabia giving $25 million, Qatar, all of these countries. You talk about women and women's rights. So these are people that push gays off business, off buildings. These are people that kill women and treat women horribly, and yet you take their money. So I'd like to ask you right now, why don't you give back the money that you've taken from certain countries that treat certain groups of people so horribly? Why don't you give back the money? I think it would be a great gesture.
Well,
because she takes a tremendous amount of money, and you take...
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, the co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. Well, I'm so disappointed. I gave the president some advice. You know, some of our listeners and viewers suggested that I give Donald Trump advice, but I haven't been all that excited about doing that. But I did give him some advice the other day, and I said, maybe I'll just skip this trip. Yeah. It might save the taxpayers some money. He didn't take that advice, and but I see not a whole lot of good coming from this. Even though if you look at Trump's speech, you know, that he gave in Saudi Arabia, then you can say, well, some of this stuff sounds good, but it was pretty disappointing. You know, there's so much hypocrisy that goes on, and it's over and over the same thing. You know, if you compare what Trump said, you know, during the campaign, how bad the you know, quite a few statements, really, really bad people over there. Mm-hmm. Actually, Hillary, even though she took their money and all, she was pretty critical too, you know, for political reason.
Yeah.
So it, I can see why American people get so disgusted with this, you know, just all the demagoguing and fake news, and they're talking and makes a mess of things. But anyway, the trip is over. Went as far as the politicians are concerned, went pretty well, you know, because Trump got pretty decent reviews from his enemies. You know, yeah, this is not too bad. But I see some very bad things coming from this. You know, one of the things that I thought sounded good was, we're not in the business of telling you people how to run your lives and run your social affairs. In other words, he said, you know, we're not going to get involved in dictating to you how you should follow your civil liberties, which is a lot more consistent than us pretending that we're saints and we don't violate civil liberties and we're going to tell everybody else how to do that. So that effort was good, but unfortunately, I see too many other things where our association with the Saudis will get much worse, and it probably will be more militarism.
Yeah, I mean, the speech that he gave was so over the top, was so sticky sweet. I think half the country went into a diabetic coma after listening to it. How wonderful this country is, how amazing it is. After just a couple of months ago, he said that they probably did 9/11. They were absolutely horrible. They throw gays off buildings. They're terrible. And, you know, the shift is so radical that I just wonder if any American will remember what happened just a couple of months ago, what he was saying.
Yeah. And, you know, I've preached a case for diplomacy at all times. You know, if we're confronted by the Soviets or whomever, I thought it was, you know, always good to talk. Diplomacy should be practiced. But this trip, I would consider not a diplomatic trip. This was well staged to serve a few special interests, and I would say the most powerful special interest that the president has kowtowed to would be the military-industrial complex. Mm. You know, it's what, up to $350 billion over the next 10 years, and who knows what. You know, and Trump is just excited about this. You know, I keep thinking and trying to analyze him in a way of what excites this man. Well, deals, good deals. Everybody
yeah.
knows that, and business deals. And he's probably pulled off a lot of big deals that were legitimate into the millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. But can you imagine what he might be thinking? This was $350 billion,
yeah.
and my friends are going to get benefit. And one of the parts of the speech that really caught me, that I, you know, annoyed me, and that was when he was talking about these great Saudis are going to bail us out by spending more money. I don't know where they're going to get it. Spend more money in our country, of course, buy more weapons. And he assured the Saudis, and I will make, and I'm ad-libbing, of course, I'm going to assure you that my friends in the military-industrial complex get you a good deal.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, my goodness. And, you know, the question it raises, most of the time when we give away foreign aid and do different things, we always have strings attached. And if we go over and invest, there's overseas private investment corporation, Ex-Im banks get involved. I always assumed that this was probably not the case with the Saudis because they were so wealthy, but they're not so wealthy anymore. They're having some financial troubles.
They spent a ton of money on this horrific war in Yemen. They now have new competition in the world oil markets. Iran is online and others. They're having a hard time, you know, keeping the cartel in line. But, you know, this deal you mentioned, you know, this is so repulsive on so many fronts. You know, I was reading earlier today that literally as soon as Trump was elected, as soon as the inauguration happened, a Saudi delegation flew in, met with Jared Kushner, the son-in-law of the president, and they started negotiating a deal right away. I mean, he probably hadn't been president for 5 minutes before they were landing, started negotiating this big deal. And I know you've always been critical of U.S. arms sale, full stop.
Right.
You think that, you know, the American taxpayer pays for the R&D. These things are to protect America. We shouldn't be selling them anywhere.
But they sell it to the public, politically also, that jobs, you know, they're military Keynesians, jobs, and they build them in every state. Everybody participates in this, so it's an economic thing, but they never ask the question, you know, if we didn't spend it on the military and we weren't dealing with that, what are we losing on? What could have happened with these funds? But I am sure there is always a cost to us. And if the emphasis goes to building weapons, and that's we're the biggest weapons dealer in the world, probably in the history of the world, it hardly is the way to get economic growth back in. That's where our problem is, and this doesn't deal with it. This is another malinvestment, a distraction, emphasis on something else. And quite frankly, with him saying the nice things about we don't want to deal with your civil liberty problems at home, but he had a lot of emphasis on advice, strong advice about how to deal with the terrorists and deal with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get rid of them. And it was like he was giving them their marching orders. But what I got from this was that it was a virtual declaration of war. Now, that seems to be pretty extreme, but that was something that I was convinced of in 1998, that there was a Iraqi Liberation Act, and I said, this stuff is going to lead to war.
Yeah.
And it took a few years, but it ended up in war. Now, this has been ongoing. This isn't the beginning. But I tell you what, it is a declaration. He was very emphatic when he started talking about Iran, that he's... I think that is the biggest target right now, not only the Shia, but the Iranians in particular, and the Syrians in particular. But we'll do this, this, and this, and this is not a peace mission. And the one thing that was never spoken, which you just can't go in and say, we're going to declare war against the Shia, against the Iranians, against the Syrians, without considering that, you know, there's another item involved there, another country. It's called Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to just roll over and say, oh, it looks bad for Assad. I guess we're going to go home.
Oh, well.
We'll give them our naval base. And the Americans, of course, would do the same thing if we, that's what they wanted to do when we had our, when the Soviets had their troops in Cuba. Oh, yeah, we better just, you know, turn over Guantanamo. You know, it's not going to happen. It just puts them up against the wall. I think it's very serious. I think in many ways it was a virtual declaration of war, and he's bragging that the Saudis are our greatest allies, and we don't have to worry about civil liberties anymore. Not that we should have been involved. I don't argue that case, but it's the militarism that exists today and increasing with this type of a trip.
And if I want to flesh this out a little, if you don't mind, this Iran thing, I think it's very important. In a couple of quotes from the speech, the first one, okay, he's standing in Saudi Arabia, a country, if you proselytize, if you try to convert people to Christianity, you get your head cut off. And here's what he said. For many centuries, the Middle East has been home to Christians, Muslims, and Jews living side by side. He's in the one country where that cannot happen.
Yeah.
And here we have a quote. Now, then he turns to Iran after saying that totally fallacious statement. And now here's the Iran part. starving terrorists of their territory after funding them and the false allure of their craven ideology will be the basis for defeating them. But no discussion of stamping out this threat, the terrorist threat, will be complete without mentioning the government that gives terrorists all three: safe harbor, financial backing, and social standing needed for recruitment. It is a regime that is responsible for so much instability in the region. I'm talking, of course, of Iran. Everything he said there could be used to describe Saudi Arabia, what right. It's done. They're the ones that export terrorism. They export Wahhabism, the radical ideology. They build radicalized mosques everywhere. And yet it's all Iran's fault. And here's what he says after that. Continuing on with Iran. Among Iran's most tragic and destabilizing interventions have been in Syria. Bolstered by Iran, Assad has committed unspeakable crimes. But what is Iran doing in Syria? They're fighting ISIS. You know, that is literally what they're doing, fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda, two radical Sunni groups that are in their targets. So is he not informed? Is he uninformed? Is he trying to uninform Americans or disinform Americans? Where's the disconnect?
And it's in Iran's territory, in their neighborhood, so they have a lot more at stake than somebody 6,000 or 7,000 miles away. So no, it is tragic, and when you think about blaming Iran for Syria, I think back to our previous administration, you know, in 2011, when our position was Assad has to go. And I think Trump still believes that, you know. I mean, with this, there's no doubt about this.
Well, he believes this false flag, I think. Yeah. You know, the false flag chemical attack.
Well, or it was a convenient thing to realize he had to go along. And there's no way to figure that out, because he's capable of flip-flopping, and why people flip-flop is hard to say. You know, when you mentioned about the Saudis or some of Trump's family rushing over to Saudi Arabia to plan these deals real early on, right after the election, I got to thinking back to the day of a couple days after 9/11, and that was when the Saudis and the bin Laden family, they got to rush their airplanes. They all got on their airplanes and they scooted out, and yet Trump was emphatic and blamed the Saudis for 9/11, and now we're over there doing this. And it's a shame, because people do want to believe. People want Trump to succeed, and they hear 20% reasonable statement and say, well, he's trying, he's doing his best, you know, this sort of thing. And I think that is so bad. I just think that there's not much hope coming out of here. It's not the diplomacy that I would advocate. Of course, talking to people and trading with people is one thing, but denying the truth is another thing. And this is what they're doing. They're living in denial. And it's power that is being wielded. It's money that's being wielded. It's factionalism, Sunni versus Shia, Arab against Persians, and this sort of thing, which is a difficult problem. And like, I think Trump brought it up. He tried to say there were times when they lived peacefully together, but not in Saudi Arabia.
Thanks to the Saudis, not in Saudi Arabia, thanks to them.
And I happen to believe that. There are examples, where the many factions have lived together when there weren't outsiders involved. It's when outsiders come in and force these individual groups to take sides with individuals. But I think this was very clear that where we have declared our allegiance with this administration, and then he couches it in words, which sound okay. This is about good and evil. You know, we're on the side of good, and it's those terrorists are on the side of evil. The other thing that he mentioned, because everybody has to be, frightened about terrorism. We should be concerned, but not terrified ourselves. But he listed about four incidents in this country which were serious, but I don't think any of them were Iranians. I don't even think there were many outside of the Americans, and I don't think there were that many killed. If you compared, the number in those four episodes that he talked about is maybe 100 or something, very low. But what about the people have died from a foreign country coming thousands of miles away and dropping bombs and droning people? How many people have died? How many Iraqis died in the constant war that we have pursued in that country? And now What is happening? Are we seeing signs of hope? Are we going to back off from this and, you know, have diplomatic relationships and solutions? But no, we're sending more troops over there. We're sending more into Syria. I mean, just recently we did something unusual. We bombed the Syrian government.
Yeah.
And of course, we're sending more troops into Afghanistan. So philosophically, the policies have not changed. The control by the military-industrial complex is there. The neoconservatives are quite pleased with all this, but the American people are getting short shrift on this. They're getting a raw deal on this, and this all costs us a lot of money, and Trump's upfront about that. We need $1 trillion to continue. We need more nuclear bombs and all this. He says. But also, he says the economy is weak, so we need $1 trillion for infrastructure. But I don't know if you saw this. This to me is more propaganda than reality. Trump's budget will slash $1.7 trillion in entitlements, cut food stamps by 25%. Who believes this?
Yeah.
You know, even when I was devised my budget, I said, you know, cut the warmongering. And work this out. Maybe we can save the economy, but you don't start with food stamps and medical care for children that we have taught generations to be dependent on. You know, that means there's no serious attempt. There'll be no $1.7 trillion cuts, and they're not going to cut food stamp, but everything is going to get cut when this whole thing comes down on us, and I think that's what's at our doorstep. The military is going to be cut, and so will all the domestic welfare be cut.
And, you know, it's such a game, it's such a charade. You know exactly what's going to happen. This won't go through. The Republicans will say, well, we tried to do some cuts, but those horrible Democrats wouldn't let us. But we got our investment in defense spending, so you shouldn't complain too much about it.
Okay, do you have a few comments that you might direct toward our president, or is that not very productive?
Well, maybe a controversial one. The president is in Israel today, and next month marks the 50th anniversary of the U.S. of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, which they did with full knowledge of who they were attacking. They killed, I think, 35 American service members. They've done it with impunity. I wonder if he'll bring it up.
Maybe we'll be reimbursed. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. And as you might guess, I consider this a very serious matter on what's going on. I don't believe this trip is a benefit to America, even though some will argue, well, it's going to help on diplomatic relationships. No, it's going to smooth over, some disagreements that were probably more realistic than what's going on today. But there's no reason why we can't talk to the Saudis and every country over there. But you could probably do it by telephone or invite them to come over here. But to go through this process, this grandiose idea, if there's anybody that is attracted to ecumenicalism, Jews talking to Muslims and Christians, sounds good. And, of course, Trump did mention that. But this is not exactly the way it would come about. It would come about in a more voluntary fashion if we would just have some agreements about what our policy is. And Daniel hinted to it that we ought to reassess our position and the position of our allies. But to pick out Saudi Arabia as our staunch ally and be talking about a new NATO for the Persian Gulf is the last thing we need. A month or two ago, Trump was for getting rid of NATO. Now he wants another one. And, of course, he'll have a lot of trouble making people pay the bills and eat them in the Saudis. Now, since they're having financial trouble, they're not going to be paying all the bills either. They're trying to sell the rights to some of their oil. So I'll tell you, I am convinced that the solution to these problems will be to one day for this country to support and push our politicians into accepting a non-interventionist foreign policy, one that follows the dictates of our Constitution, never going to war without a declaration of war, and emphasizing the fact that peace and commerce is a lot better off than all this dictatorship. And even while Trump was over there, he indicated that sanctions would be certainly a good weapon to use and financial controls. That's right down the line of more militarism. So I think it's not difficult to understand. But the powerful forces, the beneficiaries of this, whether it's the military-industrial complex or the special interest groups, it's going to take a long time before people wake up. But I'll tell you what, a time is coming when we will have this opportunity, because it will become very clear that what we're doing in foreign policy and what we're doing on economic policy and what we're doing by manipulating the economy of this country through central banking, it's going to finally bring this system down. And this will be a blessing, because we might once again think about what liberty provides for the people and what liberty can do for us. And that, of course, was the original intent of the Constitution. So let's hope that we end up realizing when the system fails that we ought to reassess it and do the right thing. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.